for the privilege to be in your house. I pray, God, for the service tonight. You'll take the next few minutes and, God, apply it to our hearts and life, that we'll see what the precious word of God holds to be true about us and about you. Lord, we thank you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn me in God's word to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to just read the first two verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read the first two verses together. I'm going to just try to give you a simple Bible study. It won't be nothing like the Bible study last Wednesday night. I hope you enjoyed that. I did myself, learning about how Christ is the perfect mercy seat. Not only was he the sacrifice, but he made the atonement for our sacrifice. But let's look here, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's start by reading verse 1 and verse 2 together. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Immediately when we read this verse and we think about being a steward, we think about our tithe, we think about our pocketbooks, we think about our money. And that's part of it, but it goes a whole lot deeper than just money. Me and Brother Johnny was talking the other day, and money is something that comes and goes. Money is something that all of us can earn. If you run out of money this week, wait till next week and you'll get some more probably. You know the greatest thing we can give to God is our time, because time is something you'll never get back. Once you spend your time with God, you'll never get that time back. We can never hit the rewind button. We can never go back into the past and reclaim the time that's been wasted. Once you give your time to God, it's gone. The Bible says here, let me draw your attention to verse 2. We're going to just talk about this one word tonight. The Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I want to talk to you tonight about stewardship. Every one of us has got something that God's given to us. And as our own personal life, God has given us a life to live, my friend. And every one of us should be living our lives for God. It's just a real quick, real simple Bible study. But I want to just read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there. It's a parable that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave about stewardship. Let me just read the first two verses to you. It says, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Here Jesus Christ gave a parable about a rich man, probably a king, that had a steward. A steward is someone that has been entrusted to take care of someone else's property. And like tonight, my friend, if I would give my truck to David tonight and ask David to take care of my truck, I'm depending upon him to be a good steward. I'm going to give him something that's not his, but he's supposed to take care of it. God's given us something tonight, my friend, and if you're saved by God's grace, God's giving you life. But this life we live is not our own, but it's Christ's, and we live through Christ and in Christ. And one day we're going to have to give an account of our stewardship to God. As personally accountable to God. Every one of us is personally accountable to God. I want you to understand this tonight. Every one of us is going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves of what we've done in our body for the Lord. I want to just tell you this, my friend. God is doing a work in this earth. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. God is doing a work in this earth. And it's our job to find the part that we can do in the job that God's doing. God's doing a job here in this earth. Now, we know he's in heaven. We know he's looking down from the third heaven upon us. But God's working in this earth. And it's our responsibility to find our part in the job that God's given us to do. But one day we're going to give an account of our stewardship to God. I want you to know God's given every one of us something to do. And tonight, my friend, I'm going to talk more than just about tithing. Tithing is an important part of this church. It's what keeps the lights on. It's what keeps the water running. It's what keeps gas in the automobiles to pick up people, to cut the lawn. Everything we do, my friend, is run off of money. There's nothing we can do in our church that does not cost something. Every gospel tract we buy cost. Every piece of paper we print off for the newsletters that you get every Sunday, they cost. Every tithing envelope, it costs about 3 or 4 cents for every tithing envelope. Everything we have costs something, my friend. But there's something more you can give to God than money, and it's your own self. It's yourself. You can be a wise steward of what God's given us. I want you to know something tonight, that we're in debt. We're in debt. You ever heard this saying? That we had a debt we could not pay, but Christ paid a debt he did not owe.
That's exactly true for salvation. We had a debt we could not pay. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If we would die for our sins, we had to go to a place called hell and stay there for all eternity trying to pay the debt for our sins, because the wages of sin is death. We would have to go to hell and try to die for our sins, but we would never die for our sins. We had to spend eternity in hell. But because Christ was sinless, was the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, He was able to come and die for our sins. And if we accept that payment, we accept those wages for our sins, then we can be set free from sins. Christ owed no debt for sin because He is perfect and sinless. But my friend, we've lied, we've cheated, we've schemed, manipulated, we've done all those things to get through life. We owe a payment. That payment is our lives, and we can die for our own sins and go to hell, or we can receive Christ and His payment and go to a place called heaven. It sounds like a pretty good deal to me. If you receive Christ, you get to go to heaven. If you reject Christ, you have to die and go to hell. I believe the greatest deal I ever took was when I received Christ as my Savior. And my friend, he paid a debt he did not owe. He paid for my sins on the cross of Calvary so I could be saved and be set free and be a son of God. I owed a debt I could not pay. And my friend, I would have to die for my sins and go to hell forever. But the debt will never be satisfied. But the day I got saved, I become indebted. Anybody ever received any bills in the mail? Almost probably every one of us. Probably every one of us. I never started receiving a bill until I started working. I reckon if you don't ever start working, you won't receive a bill. But we all receive bills. And a bill comes in a mailbox, is letting you know that you're in debt, that you owe something to somebody else, right? You know how to have a good weekend? Don't check your mailbox on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, because you won't have to worry about bills. You'll just check it on Monday. Hey, don't worry about checking on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You'll have a great weekend. But you receive a bill in the mail, it means you're in debt. I'm going to tell us something tonight. We all have a debt that we must pay, my friend. And that debt is not for salvation. That debt is for service for Jesus. Look here, if you would, in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Just two verses out of Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says. We have a debt to pay. I want you to see what this debt is tonight. We have a debt to pay because we're stewards of God. We have something that God's given to us and trusted in us. God's given every one of us something, and we're a steward of God. We should be a faithful steward of God, and because we have something that God's entrusted in our care and our keep, we become debtors to men. It says here, if you would, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Apostle Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Notice what it says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. My friend, the Apostle Paul says that he is a debtor to the Greek and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm in debt to all men. We're in debt tonight. If you're saved by God's grace tonight, you owe something. You know what you owe? You owe, my friend, your neighbors and your friends, you owe them the privilege of hearing the good news of who Jesus Christ is. If you're saved tonight, you're a steward of God's. God entrusted something in our care, in our possession. God's given every one of us something tonight. You know what it is? If you're saved, God's given you a testimony of how your life was before you were saved, how Christ saved you, and now what your life is after salvation, my friend. I could tell you how I was a drunk and a dope head and no good for nothing my life before salvation. But I don't want to stop there. I want to tell you on Tuesday night how Preacher Larry come by our house and I bowed my knee and asked Christ has saved me, forgive me of my sins, and become a child of God. But it does not stop there. I can tell you how God called me to preach, how God put a desire to pastor, how I became a pastor, how people's gotten saved, how family's been restored, not because of me, but all because of God. Every one of us tonight have a testimony for God. Think about Brother Dale. Brother Dale died four times, didn't he? Four times, the doctor said he code blue four times. He died four times. His heart stopped beating four times. And God miraculously brought him back to life. He got saved by God's grace. And now he's got a great testimony of how a dead person can come back to life and serve God through salvation. You got a testimony now how God saved you. If you're saved, you got a testimony. You got a testimony of what God's done for you since you've been saved. And my friend and I, we're in debt to our neighbors and to our friends and to our loved ones and to our coworkers and to the drunk down the road and to the harlot that's going to walk the street tonight, to all the truck drivers and mailmen, to all the football teachers and football coaches, to all the Mullins High, Marion High school teachers. We're in debt to everyone we see tonight because we're being made stewards of God. We have a stewardship. We have something that God's given to us, and it's our testimony. And we're in debt to all men. Paul said, I'm in debt to the Greek and to the barbarians. He said, I'm in debt to the high-class people. You know, tonight, my friend, you should try to win your doctor to Christ. Dr. Floyd, my doctor, she's a woman doctor. I don't have nothing against women doctor. I go in there and talk to her. I always tell her about the Lord and what God's done for us. I always tell her about the Lord. Last time we was in there, she told me about her daughter and some things that's going on in her daughter's life. And she said, preacher, please pray for my daughter. She told my wife about her daughter. Actually, talked to my wife on the phone and told my wife about her daughter. Can you imagine that? My doctor calling my house to get our help. Normally it's the other way around. I go to the doctor to get her help. I go to the hospital to get her help. She's calling my house to get my help. She's told me about her daughter. She's told me about her son. She's asking God for their help, my friend. Hey, we're in debt to the lawyers and to the doctors and to the judges, to the high-class people. My friend, we ought to get some of them saved. Get them in church. You get them tithing, it'd be all right then, won't it? You get a millionaire in here to tithe one time, we'd be all right. Boy, we'll be able to jump the jig then, won't we? I ain't going to say dance the jig, but we'll be able to jump the jig then. Hey, $1 million tithes. Hey, but you know what? You ought to get the one who picks your trash up saved. You ought to get the young boy who takes your groceries out saved. You ought to get the one who pumps your gas saved. You ought to get the one who's at the drugstore selling you pills to you or at a grocery store who's checking you out. We're in debt to all men, my friend, because God's given us this stewardship. Every one of us has got a stewardship. Every one of us has got a responsibility. And we're in debt to all men. Not only that, my friend, but notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know what's going to get people saved? I'm probably going to shoot myself in the foot right now. You know what's going to get people saved? Not just inviting them to church. I wish to God you'd invite people to church, get them here. But that's not what's going to save them, folks. Them listening to me preach is not going to save them. You know what's going to save them? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can preach the gospel. You can tell them the gospel. Hey, the gospel can penetrate that hard, stony heart and get them saved. It can melt that heart and get them saved. It can pierce that heart and get them saved. The Apostle Paul says, I were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. You know how you got saved tonight? Because somebody become a personally accountable for you and gave you the gospel. They become a debtor to you. They gave you the gospel. You know the reason you're here tonight? Because someone saw the debt that they owed and they wanted to pay on that debt a little bit. And so they shared the gospel with you to get you saved by God's grace. Here the Apostle Paul says that he was going to give them the gospel in verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I believe everyone that believeth gets saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe everyone that calls on the name of God and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, I believe they get saved. The Bible says there's some that believed in vain. How do they believe in vain? They want to get back good with their wives or get back into the house or get some kind of sickness to pass or maybe get the cancer out of the body gone. They believed in vain. When you believe on Jesus Christ, ask Him for salvation. He'll save you, my friend. And He'll do the work that needs to be done. I think about Malcolm here tonight, boy. We went to go pick him up for church, and as he went back inside, he stepped out and said, preacher, we'll be there in just a few minutes. I said, okay, that's good. He come outside. He stepped back inside. I told my boys, I said, boy, Michael looks different tonight, don't he? I don't know what it is, just something different about him tonight. I believe it might be a makeover from the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost might have made him over just a little bit and cleaned up that bad heart that he had and made him a child of God and got him saved. I'm going to tell us tonight, my friend, we're all in debt tonight. And no matter how much money you pay, you can't get out of it. Our debt is to God to tell someone else about Him. The Apostle Paul said that he was not ashamed to preach the gospel of God because it was the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In verse 17, the Bible says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice what it says here in verse 15. So as much as me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I want you to put these two verses together. Look at verse 14 and notice what Paul says. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. He said, hey, church, I'm in debt tonight. And because I'm in debt, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. You realize tonight we're in debt? You got a payment? Let me ask you this. Have you made a payment this week? Have you made a payment this week? Have you paid on your light bill this month? I hope so. Have you put gas in your vehicle? I hope so. Have you made a payment on your cable TV? I hope not. Have you made a payment? Have you made a payment on the debt you owe to the Lord? I'm not talking about for salvation, friend. I'm talking about for service. We owe God a debt. And our debt's to preach the gospel, tell others about Jesus Christ, to try to get them saved. He said, because I'm a debtor, because I owe. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. He said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. My friend, he was not ashamed. You know the reason many people don't witness tonight? Okay, if you know why many people don't go out soul winning, I believe because they're ashamed of God. You're ashamed that you're a Christian tonight? You're ashamed that God's wiped your sins away and gave you a place called heaven to go to when you die? Or you're ashamed, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ have loved you so much that he died for you, that his will and saved your unworthy soul from a place called hell? I want to tell you something. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me is getting saved, getting born again, getting redeemed, getting washed in the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible says some of you were fornicators and adulterers and drunkards and winebibbers and all these things. He said, as such were some of you. But now you've been washed, my friend. Hey, we've been made clean by the precious blood of Jesus. He said, now you've been washed. Now you've been sanctified. We've been set apart for God's glory. He said, you've been washed. You've been sanctified. And my friend, we've been glorified in Jesus Christ. We're not who we were. We're somehow different now. Let me ask you a question. Have you made a payment this week? How long has it been since you made a payment? How long has it been since you made a payment to God and handed out a gospel tract or gave someone the good news of who Jesus Christ is? Not only do we have a debt to pay, but I want you to notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn there with me if you will. Well, it's a Bible study tonight. See what God's word said to all of us. It's from the pulpit on down, folks. He's talking to me just like he's talking to you. Met Brother George outside. I said, I wonder what he's going to say to us tonight. Brother George said, I don't know, but I need something from heaven. Hope you come with your napkin on. And we'll feast upon what God gives you. It says here, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look what it says in verse 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. That word here in verse 16, I like it. The Bible says necessity. I want to tell us not only do we have a debt to pay, but we have necessity laid upon us. You know what the word necessity means? It means with absolute earnest. It means just have to get the job done right now. There's no way to escape it. There's no way around it. Hey, my friend, imagine this. Imagine you went to sleep tonight. God forbid this would happen, but imagine you went to sleep tonight and you woke up because of a bright light shining through your window. So you got up and went to your window and noticed your neighbor's house was on fire. Would you go back to sleep and say, well, I'll wait till the morning and go there and check them out? Would you wait? Would you say, well, it's not an appropriate time. I've got my jam-jams on. You remember Preacher Larry used to say jam-jams. I got my jam-jams on. I got my bedroom shoes on. I'm just in my T-shirt. And right now it's not the best time for me to go out and tell my neighbors their house is on fire. It's not the appropriate time. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He says necessity is laid upon me to preach the gospel. Now, he told his son Timothy, he said, hey, he said, be instant in season and out out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, my friend. Hey, we just need a group of men and women who has necessity laid upon them and realize that now is the day of salvation. Now is the proper time to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Hey, don't wait till next week. Hey, don't wait till someone gets saved and then invite them to your church. I remember when me and my wife first got saved, we was just telling everybody. We was excited about salvation. And we had so many other people from other churches come to us and say, well, won't you come join our church? Boy, they waited till the hard work is over. They waited till we got saved and they say, won't you come to our church? You can be used in our church. We need you in our church. Hey, why don't we go out and get a few people saved and bring them back to the church that they got saved in? Necessity. But we ought to have this earnest desire to go out and get people saved. Necessity. We have a debt to pay, and we have necessity laid upon us. It's something that we have to take care of right now. If I saw my neighbor's house is on fire, it don't matter what was on TV. It don't matter if I was watching Andy Griffith, I Love Lucy, hey, Wheel of Fortune. It don't matter none of those things, my friend. Hey, if my neighbor's house was on fire, I'd get up right then and do all I can to save a soul from death, my friend. How about you? Would you be willing to spare a few hours on Saturday? Go out and hand out a door hanger bag and ask someone to know Christ as their Savior. Heard a story about Jack House. Lord, help me. Don't let me listen to no more Jack House tapes. Well, he encouraged me. You know what he said? He said we got fired up for soul winning and we started going soul winning. About like we're doing here. He said that there was one man in the vicinity of his church. He gave that man his name. I can't remember what it is. And Jack Howes and one of his deacons went to go visit him on a Saturday evening. He knocked on his house. That man said, come on in. Brother Jack Howes said, well, I was going to tell him what church we're from. He said, don't tell me what church you're from. I know what church you're from. I know who your pastor is. He said, I know what you're here for. He says, I'm going to tell you what. He said, my favorite TV show is about to come on. He says, just go ahead and ask him if I'm a sinner. And so Jack Howes said, are you a sinner? He said, yes. He said, go ahead and ask me if I die tonight when I go to heaven. Jack Howes said, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? He said, no. He said, go ahead and tell me Romans 3:10. And so he told him Romans 3:10. He said, well, tell me Romans 3:23. He told him Romans 3:23. He said, well, tell me Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He told him Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:8 and Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and verse 13. He said, I want to tell you how I know this stuff. He said, for the past 52 consecutive weeks, someone has knocked on my door and gave me the same junk, gave me the same stuff, gave me the same tracks. Gave me the same stuff you've just given me. That encouraged me. What happened? What would happen to someone if we knocked on their door for 52 weeks straight? What would happen if we just get the meanest, biggest, ugliest sinner there is? Well, we can't do that because, well, yeah, I reckon we can because you're already saved tonight, so that'll mean you're a sinner. But we could go out here and get the meanest, ugliest, biggest sinner in the world, and every one of us could just take a time and knock on his door every week and give him the gospel and ask him how to be saved. What do you think that would do for that fella? What do you think that would do for 52 weeks? What would that do, Brother George? Somebody knocking on your door for 52 weeks and ask you if you were saved, ask you if you would come to church, ask you if you give your life to Christ. For 52 consecutive weeks, that's happened in this man's life, and he got saved by God's grace, not the first, not the second, not the fifth, not the 20th, not the 40th, not the 50th, but the 53rd time someone knocked on his door, he gave his life to Christ. Necessity. Necessity. Where would you be at tonight if someone didn't care about you? Where would you be at tonight if someone didn't come and knock on your house door and invite you to church and told you how Jesus Christ would save your unworthy soul? Hey, my friend, I'm going to tell us, God's made us stewards. God's given us something to share. God's given us something that's not ours so we can use it for Him. And we've got a debt to pay. We've got necessity laid upon us. But turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you this tonight. It's amazing. I said all that. And still got 5 minutes till 8. That's amazing, church. 5 minutes till 8. You still go home and eat your popcorn, drink your Pepsi before you go to bed. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Well, verse 1, let's read verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, if a man's going to count of us, if a man is going to look at us and determine what we are, he says, let him think this about us, that we're ministers of Christ and we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Notice that last little S on the word steward. He said, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Not only do we have a debt to pay, not only do we have necessity laid upon us, but we should stay faithful to God. The Bible says this right here, more of it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Tonight, if you're saved, you're a steward of God. God's giving you something to use for Him, and that's salvation. If you're saved tonight, you'll die and go to heaven. But my friend, it's just not getting saved and waiting to go to heaven. It's getting saved and serving Jesus until He calls us home to heaven. And we should be wise stewards. We should be faithful stewards because we owe a debt, because necessity is laid upon us. And notice what the Bible says once again. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let me ask you this. God says, I want you to do something. Let me ask you this. I'll use my boy for illustration, Justin. I say, Justin, I want you to do something. Justin don't get it done. Next day I go back and I say, Justin, I want you to do something. Justin don't get it done. Next day I say, Justin, I want you to do something. Justin don't get it done. David, what you think is going to happen after a few days, a few weeks, a few months, even maybe a few years of me telling Justin to do something, he never gets it done? I'll probably quit. You're exactly right. I'll probably never go back to Justin and say, Justin, I need you to do something for me again. Because he's let me down so many times. He's not done what was required of him. So there's no sense of asking him to do something for me again. But you know what? A few weeks later, when Justin comes up and say, Daddy, I need you to do something for me. What would I be more apt to do? Well, Justin, you ain't done nothing for me. Why should I do something for you? Justin, you didn't clean your room. You didn't cut the grass. You didn't hoe out the garden. You didn't clean up the barn. You didn't feed the chickens. You didn't bathe the dogs. Justin, you didn't do anything I've asked you to do, so why should I do something for you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? God says we should be stewards. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's given us something to do. If we can't do that one thing for God, why should we depend upon God, and why should we call on God to do anything for us? I want to remind you of this before you say I'm preaching heresy. God's ways, not our ways. God's thoughts, not our thoughts. His ways is higher than our ways, and His thoughts is higher than our thoughts. If I was God, and I asked you to do one thing for me, and you couldn't do that one thing for me, then I'll probably just turn my back on you and say, bless God, help your own self. I won't do nothing else for you. But that's not our loving God. That's not our compassionate God. That's not our tender God. Our God says, I love you with everlasting love. Our God says, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, our God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect weakness. Our God says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy shall come in the morning. Our God says, you've been young, but now you're old, and you'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Hey, our God says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. Hey, our God says, come upon me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want to ask you, my friend, if God says that we owe a debt, shouldn't we have enough of love for God to pay the debt that we owe? I'm not talking about paying a cell phone bill. I'm not talking about paying a satellite bill or paying a gas bill or paying your grocery bill. All those things is needful, but the most earnest thing is staying right with God and paying the debt we owe to God, because we got necessity laid upon us, and because we realize the only way to be a faithful steward of God, the only way to be a faithful steward of God is just to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. I said all that to say this. Past 3 weeks, we've had a wonderful time, church. We visited folks. We have soul winning revival. Brother Van White come, doing a tremendous job. That Saturday, we went out and probably visited 300-400 people. Had almost a full house on Sunday morning. That Sunday morning had one of the greatest offerings we've had in a very long time. Hey, we've seen souls get saved that week. We've seen souls get baptized. We've seen more people get saved. Lord willing, we see more people get baptized. God's been moving and God's been blessing. God's given us just a little taste of what we can have as long as we're wise and faithful stewards to the debt that we owe God. My friend, it's not time to stop. It's not time to sit back down and say, well, God still can do it. Let him do it. Talked to a preacher the other day. They've been 3 years and not seen one person saved. Can you imagine that? 3 years. You know what my next question is? I said, well, how many of you have going on visitation? They said, well, we don't have visitation. I said, do you pass out gospel tracts? He said, well, we got some. 3 years, folks. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that God's going to bless next week and another person will get saved. I hope they do. I'm praying they do. I'm anticipating that they do. I'm going to come to church like someone's going to get saved. But I'm going to tell us, my friend, we need to be stewards of what God has given us. We need to be faithful stewards. And we need to realize we've got a debt to pay. We've got this necessity upon us. And we need to be faithful and doing what God's called us to do. Hey, this Saturday, we're going to have a soul winning Saturday. We're going to go out and pass out gospel tracts and hand out door hanger bags and try to get people in church. I want to tell you, three weeks ago, I started driving the bus and loving it, my friend. I'm loving it. The first week, we had 14 people. Hey, the second week, we had 11 people. Hey, the third week, this coming week, we're promised to have 17 people. Hey, God's blessing. If you'll go out, God will bless. If you're faithful, God will bless. If you'll be a wise steward, God will bless. If you'll be a faithful steward, God will bless. If you pay a payment on your debt that you owe God, I believe God will bless. My friend, we're going to have soul winning Saturday. We don't have anybody keeping count, but how many is going to go soul winning on Saturday? Raise your hand. I want to see them. One, hold them up high for me. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 people. Thank you. When we go out Saturday, we're going to pay a payment on our debt that we owe God. And I hope God blesses every one of you, faithfully blesses every one of you. And when we come in Sunday morning, if we have a visitor or not, if a soul gets saved or not, I'm still going to shout the victory because I made a payment on my debt that I owe my Savior. I realize necessity is laid upon me, and I'm going to have to get the job done. Hey, with or without you, the job has to get done. And I hope you'll get on board and help us get the job done. Because, my friend, one day I'm going to stand before God like you're going to stand before God and give an account of what we've done with what we know to do with and how we've done it. Every one of you know you should go soul winning. Every one of you know you got a debt to pay. Every one of you know there's necessity is laid upon you. You're the only one that can reach some other people with the gospel. You know that? Sincerely, there's people you know. Y'all had a lady saved, didn't you? A girl I went to school with, y'all led her to Christ. She got saved. I probably could have never won her to Christ, but y'all did. Every one of you got someone you can win to Christ if you'll just go and tell them. If you'll just go and tell them. If you'll just go and tell them. I hope you get off your lazy streak, get off your backside, and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ before they die and go to hell and their blood be upon your hands. I love you enough to tell you, my friend, we not need to be slothful with God's stewardship. We don't need to sit on our dear ears the rest of our life hoping that somebody else will come along and take your place and do your job, because God's given you a stewardship, God's given you a debt, God's given you necessity, and God requires for you to be faithful for your own selves. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm going to make a payment on the debt I owe. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you. I pray, God, during the invitation, some might need to come get right with the Lord. Some might need to come pray for the souls you put upon our hearts. I'm thinking about a family right now, mom and daddy. I love to see you get saved this Saturday. God, help us as we go by, that they'll be home, that you'll give us the words to say and the right way to say it, that they'll get saved. It'll be a mom and daddy get saved. They can lead their children to Christ. They can lead their grandchildren to Christ. I pray, God, for open door. This won't be just a fly-by-night thing for us. It just won't be a pump-up and emotional thing that we've done it, and we've seen you work, we've seen you bless, and we're going to just sit by and watch the world die and go to hell. But, Father, it'll be something that we do every day. We'll be a witness for Christ every day because we want to pay a payment on our debt that we owe. God, we realize that necessity is upon us. God, we can't depend upon everybody else, but God, we can depend upon the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our own life to get the job done. God, help us to be faithful, what faithful stewards of what you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you tonight. I love you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Stand with me if you will. Heads bowed, eyes closed for the invitation tonight. The piano begins. The altar is open. Maybe some of you that's going to go soul winning on Saturday, why don't you come and pray and ask God to open up doors for us. Open up doors, open up hearts. Go ahead and get hearts ready and receptive right now to the Word of God. Won't you pray? Won't you right now, you think about someone that's lost and ask God to help you to win them to Christ. You think about them index cards that you've got with somebody's name on it. Have you prayed for them? Have you went by their house yet? Have you invited them to church? Have you told them about Jesus Christ yet? Have we paid a payment on our debt? Is it past due? You already got the third and fourth and second, fifth and sixth notice on it so far? You realize there's going to be people in our church that's lost on Sunday that needs to be saved. And you can pray for them and have a part in their lives by praying for them, by being their friend, by going to them, by telling them about Jesus Christ. If you want a pastor who's going to take it easy about soul winning, I'm not the one. If you want a pastor who's going to say, do whatever you want, it's going to be all right. I'm not the one. I'm going to be the one who tells you you've got a debt to pay. And some of us is very far behind. May the Lord help us with this. May we be faithful stewards. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight, God, for your goodness, your faithfulness. I pray for these at the altar. God, you'll help them with the desires, the burdens in the hearts. I pray, God, for those who raise their hands, God, this week, that we'll be going out Saturday soul winning. Lord, it's going to be a very busy day for us. We'll have the tabernacle to work on Saturday. And God, we'll be able to go out Saturday and go soul winning. And then, Lord, we have to clean the bus and, God, get messages ready to preach on Sunday and have Sunday school and choir and all that good stuff. I pray, Father, you give us the strength for that. God, you give us strength for our labors. God, you'll bless those who's going to go out Saturday for their faithfulness to thee. God, help us win people to Christ. Help us to get them saved, get them grounded and settled in the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that you'll add. God, there's good Bible-believing, Bible-practicing churches around here. God, there's some good men of God who's standing behind the pulpit tonight who's preaching the Word of God. And I pray, Father, you help fill their churches up. God, that those men of God who's laboring behind the pulpit would have members and visitors who will come in and be members to help back up the man of God, help back up the work that's going on there in their church. And I pray, Father, there's just a few left over. Would you send them our way? God, let them be in our church on Sunday. Now we can preach and sing to them and help them in their Christian lives. God, help them in their sinful lives that we can pull them to Christ, see them get saved. God, continue to use the open door for thy glory. Lord, we need you now. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful stewards. Help us to make a payment on the debt that we owe. Help us to realize that necessity is laid upon us, that we need to get going. We need to get after sinners. Get them to the foot of the cross. Get them saved. Lord, I love you. I thank you tonight for your goodness.